empty series this morning, because obviously our next empty is the tomb itself. If a week ago we had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, today we have the triumphal exit as the Lord Jesus Christ rises from the grave and leaves a testimony to the whole world. The tomb is empty. He is risen. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. We were told in verse 6 that the ladies were told, "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." The empty tomb is a testimony to the fact that Christ is risen. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to celebrate this day. The day where we remember that Christ Jesus arose from the grave. The day that we remember that empty tomb. And that empty tomb speaks to us today. It speaks to us of the truth of God's word. It speaks to us of the triumph of death over the grave. It speaks to us of a testimony that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we come around your word. I pray that you would enable us to be reminded of the empty tomb, how it speaks of your truth, how it speaks of your triumph, how it speaks of your testimony to us and the responsibility of our testimony to a lost and dying world. So Father, would you speak to us this morning through your word and help us as we look at that empty tomb to be encouraged today, for we need it today in our Christian lives, possibly more than we've ever needed it before. Help us today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So on the third day, after all hope had seemed lost, after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, after they pulled his body down off the cross, after they had hastily wrapped him in the cloth that they could and put him in the tomb, they had no time to anoint him with spices. That's why the ladies then went after the Sabbath was over to get the spices they needed to in order to anoint the body properly. As they hastily laid him in the tomb, that must have seemed like the longest 3 days that they'd ever spent. Do these days that are going past in isolation feel like the longest days? Does it feel like everything is taking so long for us to get through this time of difficulty? Those 3 days probably felt like an eternity. How had things gone so horribly wrong? How, just in the span of less than a week, could the Lord Jesus Christ have come into Jerusalem to the cries of, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Save now! Save now! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord!" How could things suddenly have gone so wrong from the cries of, "Hosanna!" to the shouts of, "Crucify him!" Those 3 days must have seemed like an eternity. And yet, when they went early in the morning, the tomb was empty. Christ was not there. He is risen. Behold the place where he lay. The empty tomb reminds us of so much. The empty tomb reminds us of the truth of God's word. Every time we look at the empty tomb, we should be reminded of God's truth. Christ had said that that's exactly what he would do. If you turn back just a few pages in your Bible to Mark chapter 10,
and verses 32 to 34. Jesus said, foretold his death. They were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before him, and they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid, and he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. The empty tomb reminds us of the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ didn't just say that he would die. Jesus Christ said, I will be delivered into the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees. I will be handed over to the Gentiles. I will be killed. But on the third day, I'll rise again. The empty tomb reminds us of the truth of God's word. Jesus said in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Every time we come to the word of God, we can look at the empty tomb and be reminded that this word is truth. How many times today do we believe the lies of the world? And yet we have the truth in our hands. You know, people can say to us, how can you believe such an antiquated book? How can you believe such an outdated book? How can you believe such an old-fashioned book? Because the tomb is empty. And that reminds me that God's word is truth. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will rise again. The angels told the ladies, the empty tomb is a testimony to God's truth. Behold, the place where they laid him. He's not there. He is risen. How incredible to know that our God is alive. You know, you can visit the tombs of religious leaders in the past. You can visit tombs of people who have started great movements or supposed great movements in the past. But guess what? They're all dead. They're all still in the ground. Their bodies have dissolved into the elements. They are dead. But Christ is alive. That's what sets Christianity apart from every religion in the world today. Christ is alive. And he's just as much alive today as he was at the foundation of the world. He is alive. He's as much alive today as he was before the world began. He's as much alive today as he ever has been, from eternity past to eternity present. He is alive. He is risen. Christ laid down his life, and he would pick it back up again. The empty tomb and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ sets Christianity apart from everything. Robert Lowry put it this way: low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, wait in the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Can I say this today, church? He's risen. He's not there. He's not in the ground. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's alive. And he will be alive forevermore. The empty tomb reminds us of the truth of God's word. The empty tomb reminds us of that triumph. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A few hours before D.L. Moody died, he caught a glimpse of glory that was awaiting him. When he awoke from sleep, he said, earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling. I must go. His son was standing by his bedside and he said, "No, no, Father, you're dreaming." "No," said Mr. Moody, "I'm not dreaming. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." A short time elapsed, and when what seemed to the family to be the death struggle, Moody spoke again. "This is my triumph. This my coronation day. It is glorious." Moody was rejoicing. He was at peace at the hour of his death because he knew the resurrected Savior. He is alive, and because he is alive, we shall live also. We don't fear death. There is no sting in death. There is no victory in the grave for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole fabric of Christianity rests upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that if God raised up Christ, then God would raise up all Christians. That gives us the hope we need. That's the triumph. Just as Christ, the empty tomb, reminds us that Christ had triumph over the grave. Christ had triumph over death. Well, his life is imparted to us. So we too have triumph over death. We too have triumph over the grave. The sign of Christianity is not the cross. It's the empty tomb. The cross might remind us of Christ's death. But can I say this? If Christ had remained upon the cross, like so many people, I really dislike seeing pictures of Christ upon the cross, and, you know, he's not on the cross. But the cross was a symbol of death. The empty tomb reminds us of his triumph, reminds us of that resurrection, reminds us that he is alive. Those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, you have the same triumph. We don't fear death. There is no sting in death. There is no victory in the grave. We serve a living Savior, and that gives us hope. That gives us hope to face tomorrow. It's our hope. It's our reason for peace. It's our reason for joy. Even when we come to facing the death of a loved one, for those who know Christ as their Savior, we still have a hope. We still have a joy, knowing that we'll see them again. Knowing that they're safe in the arms of the Savior. Knowing that there's hope beyond the grave. The hope and truth of the resurrection have given many a Christian martyr the peace that they've needed at the time of losing their lives in this world. There's a story of a couple called John and Betty Stamm, who were missionaries to China. And when they were being led to their execution, somebody asked, "Where are you going?" And John's reply was, "I don't know where the guards are going, but I'm going to heaven." Shortly thereafter, the communist soldiers beheaded them both in the streets of the city. But those faithful warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ were in his presence and will be for all eternity. Paul said, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep with Jesus will God bring with him." Yeah, I read something really interesting this week about Winston Churchill's funeral. And it was, I think, it might still only be the only state funeral of a non-royal. I think it was certainly the only one since the Second World War. I think there was one before that in the 30s. But anyway, when Winston Churchill died, his body lay in state, and in St. Paul's Cathedral, Churchill had picked his favourite hymns, and there was an impressive liturgy. And at the end of the service, Churchill had an unusual event planned. When they said the benediction, high up in the dome of St. Paul's, Churchill had a bugler. And on the one side, that bugler played taps, the universal signal that the day was over. Then, after a long pause, a bugler on the other side of the dome played reveille. which was the military wake-up call. It's almost as if Churchill was communicating a way to say that while we say goodnight here on earth, there's a good morning up in heaven. Christians look forward to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in person. I said Friday, you know, how excited will we be when we finally, when this lockdown is lifted and we can finally get to worship in church again? What will that service be like? How excited will we be to finally be in church? You know, we take our church for granted, maybe. We take the people of the church for granted, maybe. I've missed everybody so much, and I can't wait for us to be gathered together again. And you think how exciting that gathering will be. But how much more exciting will our gathering in heaven be? What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one that saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day when we see our Jesus face to face. The empty tomb reminds us of God's truth. The empty tomb reminds us of Christ's triumph. The empty tomb also reminds us of our testimony. If we're in 1 Corinthians 15, so if you just skip back a few verses to verse 12. Paul said this in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yea, yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If there is no resurrection, then Christ is dead. Then there is no hope. The repercussions of this fact would be devastating. What would be the purpose of living for a dead Christ? His resurrection gives life meaning. His resurrection is a testimony to the fact that we serve the true God. The empty tomb reminds us not only of God's testimony to us, but the empty tomb reminds us of our testimony to others. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. What would be the point of preaching? What would there be to preach about? You know, we would just go to the Old Testament and we would have a history lesson. That's all we would have. But we know when we go to the Old Testament, it's a picture of what is to come. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ right the way throughout the whole scripture. And yet, if Christ was not risen from the dead, then our preaching would be pointless. The gospel would be no gospel. Because there would be no good news. What would the good news be? The death and the burial of Christ. Well, no, the good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this, that going to church would be a waste of time if Christ was not risen? What would be the point? Well, what hymns would we sing? Yeah, it's really funny, is that a Christian comedian who sing songs about, you know, what do atheists sing? Because now there's atheist churches, and what songs do atheists sing? And that's the point. What is the point? I don't understand humanist funerals. You know, what is the point of that? You know, there's nothing to talk about. If Christ was not risen, there would be no point in church. If Christ was not risen, there would be no point in gathering together. If Christ was not risen, there'd be no point in singing the hymns. If Christ was not risen, there would be no point in praying. Why? Because Christ is our advocate. If Christ was not risen, we'd have no access to the Father. If Christ is not risen, then we would indeed be of all men most miserable. The resurrection is what takes the bad news of his death and turns it into the good news that we have, that is the gospel. Without it, we're hopeless. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Our faith would have no meaning. Our faith would have no purpose. Our faith would have no point. What reason would there be to put our faith and trust in a dead man? What reason would we have to pray to a dead man? What purpose and hope could we have that a dead man could help us in any way, shape, or form? But if he rose from the grave, if he is alive as he said he was, then our faith is not vain. Because we have hope in somebody that can answer our prayers. We have hope in somebody that can help us in a time of need. We have hope to be able to go to somebody that is able to guide us, that is able to help us, that is able to direct us. If Christ had not risen from the dead, he would be no different than any other person that's ever died before. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. If Christ did not rise from the grave, then the disciples were just a bunch of liars. The disciples were a bunch of frauds. The disciples were just fakes. They were just hypocrites. Their actions would have been the biggest cover-up that this world has ever known. Christ would have been dishonest. Christ would have been a liar, because he claimed to have had the power to not only raise himself up from the grave, but also to raise up us up as well. No man can come to me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus Christ said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were yet dead, yet shall he live. Christ will raise us up from the grave when that trump sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first if we've not gone to glory before the rapture comes. What the disciples preached was true then, and it's true now. What has been recorded in Scripture was true then, and it's true now. The apostles and the Christians in the past, those who have been martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ, were able to sing hymns of praise as they were being led to the lion's den. They were able to sing hymns of praise as they were nailed to crosses themselves. They were able to sing hymns of praise as they were put on the fire. Why? Because Christ is alive. And because Christ was alive, then death held no fear for them, that they would be alive with Christ as well. And if Christ be not risen from the dead, then they had no hope. If Christ was not raised, then ye are yet in your sins. If Christ was not raised, then our sins wouldn't be able to be forgiven. He was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb that would take away the sins of the world, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb, the only sacrifice that could take the sins away, not cover them till the next time, take them away. But if Christ be not risen from the dead, then the price for our sin would still have to be paid. The wages of sin is death. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then we'd still owe a debt. And we know that we could not pay that, and hell would be our destiny. If Christ be not risen, then those also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ had not risen, then we would never see our loved ones that have gone before us again, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Death would be a permanent goodbye. I love the fact that a Christian never, ever says goodbye. A Christian will always say, see you later. Because it is no goodbye for those who know Christ as their Savior. You know, the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that truth comforts us. That truth gives us hope. That truth helps us in times of difficulty. Every single one of us will come to a point where we will rely upon the truth of that word Because when it comes our time to leave this world, we'll take comfort from the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will simply take us by the hand and take us to glory, that where he is, there we may be forever. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If our hope in Christ is only for our earthly life, then there is nothing to look forward to. There is no hope on the other side. And we would be like every other religion that doesn't offer a permanent, definite, no-soul salvation. Our whole world would basically cave in if Christ was not risen from the dead. The reason that many people are miserable today is because they don't serve a risen Savior. Because they don't have the hope of eternal life. They don't know his power in their lives. They don't know his presence in their lives. They don't know the privilege of prayer in their lives. His power and presence in us transforms our trials and our troubles into those triumphs. His power and presence in our lives conforms us from the wretched person that we are into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. His power and presence in our lives informs us of the iniquity so that we can stay away from the sins of this world and we can do what's right. His power and presence reforms our rebellion and our attitude against God, and it turns it into righteousness and submission to his will. His power and presence in us performs his promise to us to cleanse and conquer sin, and to give us eternal life or death. You know, in the late 60s, while they were expecting their third child, Bill and Gloria Gaither were going through a rather traumatic time in their lives. Bill was recovering his strength from a bout with mononucleosis. And they, along with their church, were the objects of accusation and belittlement. Gloria was experiencing a time of torment, including fear of the future and of bringing children into such a crazy, mixed-up world. The drug culture was in full swing. Cities were seething with racial tension, and the God is dead pronouncement had gained its way all through the education system. On New Year's Eve, as Gloria sat alone in a darkened living room, tormented and fearful, the Lord sent a calm and peaceful rest to her. The power of the resurrection of Christ seemed to affirm itself in her life once again. Gloria remembers the realization that it was the life conquering death in the regularity of my day. The joy seemed to overcome and take precedent over frightening human circumstances. From this personal bout with darkness, a song came to their hearts. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Christ is alive. He is risen. The empty tomb stands testimony to the truth of God's word. And can I say this? If God speaks the truth in regards to Christ's resurrection, then God speaks the truth when it comes to salvation. God speaks the truth when it comes to heaven. God speaks the truth when it comes to what he'll do with Israel. God speaks the truth when it comes to what will happen in the end of this world. God speaks the truth when he promises to never leave us. God speaks the truth when he promises to hear our prayers. God speaks the truth when he tells us that he'll come back for us one day. The empty tomb reminds us of God's truth. The empty tomb reminds us of God's triumph. His triumph over death, hell, and the grave. The devil's not won. Christ is alive. And not only does the empty tomb speak of Christ's triumph, but it speaks of our triumph over death. If you know Christ as your Savior, then there is no sting in death. If you know Christ as your Savior, then there is no victory in the grave. Call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. You can call on his name because he's alive, because he's risen, because he's paid the price of sin upon the cross. He experienced and suffered death for you so that you wouldn't need to suffer death. There are two deaths. There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. And that's what God said to Adam, in dying thou wilt die. Two deaths, physical, spiritual. I love the old saying, I don't know who came up with it, you know, that if you were saved, if you were born again, you'll have two births and one death. But if you've only ever been born once, you'll have two deaths. There'll be a physical death. And then we're told at the great white throne judgment, death and hell gave up their dead and were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You don't need to experience death. Why? Because Christ is risen and Christ died for you upon the cross. What you need to do right now is accept him as your Savior. Maybe today, more than any other day in your life, you were scared of death. What if this coronavirus comes for you? Death is not a respected person. It can happen to anybody. What if it comes for you tonight? Do you know you'd spend eternity in heaven if you were to die right now? Unless you accept Christ as your Savior, then your eternal destination would be a place called hell. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Trust him as your Savior today before it's too late. If you know him as your Savior, then the empty tomb reminds us of his truth, reminds us of his triumph. And not only reminds us of the testimony of God, but it reminds us of our responsibility to be a testimony to a lost and dying world, especially in the day that we are living right now. The resurrection of Jesus Christ enables us to live the Christian life. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, life is worth living. Because he lives, we have a responsibility to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God the tomb is empty. Christ arose. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But he's not there. He's risen. He is alive. And he is alive forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day, for this time together. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word. Thank you, Lord, for our church and their faithfulness in gathering at this time electronically, Lord. Thank you for the praise of your saints today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord, for the technology to reach out with the gospel and for it to be spread further than we could have ever hoped for. And Father, I just pray that someone listening to this live would recognize their need for a Savior. Maybe somebody listening to this later on would see their need of salvation. Maybe they are scared of death and they recognize the fact that their only hope is in Christ, that they would recognize that they're a sinner and separated from God, that they would believe that Jesus died on the cross for them and then rose again the third day, and that they would just simply confess him as Savior and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection as the only means and hope of salvation, and that they would have that victorious life. Then, Father, for the believer, I pray that you would help us through these days of difficulty and darkness, that we would look at that empty tomb, and we would be reminded of your truth and your triumph and your testimony. Father, would you just bless us, I pray, for the remainder of this day and help us as we head into yet another week of lockdown and social distancing. And Father, even though we may be apart as believers, we are not alone because you are alive and you've promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn together. See what a morning, and we'll stand as we sing. Amen. again. Praise the Lord. What a joy that Christ is risen from the dead. Thank you again for joining with us. Just again, say a massive thank you to Josh for putting all of the live stream together. Thank you to Steve. I don't know why I'm pointing over there. Thank you to Steve for recording the songs for us. Thank you, church, for gathering together at this time and for praying for us, for your texts of encouragement, for the verses that you send in, for praying for one another. Just thank you for the opportunity to minister in this way. And I just pray that we would know God's presence today on this incredible day, the day that we remember that He is risen. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to know You as our Savior. What a joy it is to know that our sins are forgiven. What a joy it is to know that You are risen. And that victory that was accomplished over death, hell, and the grave is our victory. We have that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would You bless Your church today? Would You bless all those tuning in this morning, Lord? Would You just bless to our hearts the reading of Your word and the reminder of what You've done and who You are? And Lord, again, if there's anyone here today, whatever the need is, would that need be met? Maybe somebody needed an encouragement today. Maybe somebody needed a bit of strength in a time of weakness. Maybe somebody needed some hope in a time of hopelessness. Maybe somebody needed some light in a time of darkness. And maybe somebody needed salvation in a time of lostness. Father, I just pray that You would speak to each heart this morning and that You would meet that need. Father, we just thank You again for all that You've done for us. We love You and we praise You and we give You all that glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen.